Amina did not exist before this episode. What they are about to describe is happening across London as you listen. This is their story. Healthcare assistants across one of the most deprived constituencies in the country watch agency staff fill the nursing roles they want to train for, while funded training places sit empty and simulation equipment lies unused in mothballed centres. The people exist, the need exists, but someone in Westminster decided the budget could not stretch to connect them.
My mum came here from Somalia when I was 3. She got work as a healthcare assistant at Lewisham Hospital, night shifts mostly, and I remember her uniform hanging by the radiator every morning when I left for school. She'd be asleep by then, but I'd see her stethoscope on the kitchen table and think, that's what I want to do. Not the cleaning and the lifting and the 12-hour shifts for minimum wage. I wanted to be the one making the decisions, giving the medications, being the person families turned to when they needed to know their dad was going to be all right. I had my son when I was 23. His dad wasn't around, so it was just me and Jordan and my mum helping when she could. I kept working as a healthcare assistant at University Hospital Lewisham because the hours were predictable and the managers understood when I needed to leave for school pickup. But I never stopped thinking about nursing. I watched the qualified nurses on my ward, saw how they talked to patients, how they caught things the doctors missed. That could be me, I thought. I know these wards. I know this work. In 2019, I applied to King's College London for their nursing degree. I got accepted. I opened that letter and felt like everything was finally falling into place. Then I read the small print. The funded places were full. If I wanted to start in September, I'd need to pay £9,000 per year. I was earning £18,000 as a healthcare assistant. Even with student loans, I couldn't make the numbers work. Not with Jordan, not with rent, not with everything else. I called the university. They were sympathetic but clear. There are only so many funded places, the admissions officer told me. You're welcome to reapply next year. I reapplied in 2020. Same story. Accepted, no funding. I was starting to wonder if this was how the system worked. They let you think you had a chance, then told you it was about money. But I kept hearing that the NHS was desperate for nurses. Every shift, we were short-staffed. Agency nurses would come in for 3 times what I was paid, work 1 weekend, and earn more than I made in a month. If they needed nurses so badly, why couldn't they find the money to train the people who wanted to do it? I tried a different route. In 2021, I applied to South Thames Foundation School for the Healthcare Assistant Apprenticeship Programme that led to nursing qualification. This felt more realistic. I was already working in the NHS. I knew the job. I could study while I worked. The application process took months. I did aptitude tests, interviews, practical assessments. They kept saying how impressed they were, how much experience I had. Then came the phone call. "I'm sorry, Amina," the training coordinator said. "Health Education England has capped our training budget this year. We had 200 applicants for 15 funded places. You're 23rd on the waiting list." "But I thought the NHS needed more nurses." "We do, desperately. But there is no funding. The budget has been cut. We simply cannot afford to run more programs." I accepted this. it sounded reasonable. Budgets get cut, money is tight. These things happen. I kept working my shifts, watching the agency nurses come and go, watching patients wait longer for basic care because we didn't have enough permanent staff, but at least I understood why. There was no money. Then I contacted NHS England directly. Maybe they could explain when the training budget might increase, when someone like me might get a chance. The response came back in a week. We simply don't have the budget for expansion right now. Training places are allocated based on available funding, and that funding is constrained. For 2 years, I accepted this answer. I kept working, kept hoping something would change. Jordan started school properly, which gave me more flexibility, but every time I looked into nursing training, I hit the same wall. No funding, budget constraints, maybe next year. Then, in 2023, I was talking to Sarah, another healthcare assistant who'd applied for the same King's College program. She'd been turned down for the same reason, no funded places left. But her friend worked in the nursing school's admin office and she'd heard something strange. King's College had 40 unfilled nursing places that year. Not because they'd given them to someone else, because they couldn't recruit enough applicants. I didn't understand. How could they have empty places when dozens of us had been told the funded places were full? I called the admissions office. The woman I spoke to sounded uncomfortable. "Well," she said, "the funded places available to us are set by Health Education England. We can only recruit up to that number, even if we have physical capacity for more students." "But I was told you didn't have places." "We don't have funded places. The training grants we receive are capped. It's not about classroom space or clinical placements. It's about the budget allocation." This didn't make sense. The people existed. I existed. Sarah existed. All the healthcare assistants I knew who wanted to become nurses existed. The university existed. The wards where we'd work existed, desperately short-staffed. What exactly was it that there was no money for? I started asking more questions. A friend who worked at the old Deptford site told me something that made my head spin. The training centre there had been mothballed 2 years earlier. "Budget cuts," she said, "but the equipment was still there. Simulation mannequins worth thousands of pounds, still in their boxes, computers, treatment rooms, everything you'd need to train healthcare workers. Just sitting empty while people like me were told there was nowhere to train us." I stood outside that building one afternoon after my shift. I could see through the windows, rows of empty desks, whiteboards with half-erased lesson plans still on them. This wasn't a building that had been demolished or sold or converted. This was a training centre, fully equipped, that someone had decided to close while telling us there was nowhere for us to learn. I started to understand something I'd never seen before. The government that issues the pound, that prints every note in my wallet, was telling me it couldn't find enough of those pounds to train the people who were standing right there, ready to work. Not because the people didn't exist. Not because the buildings didn't exist. Not because the need didn't exist. But because someone had decided not to spend the money. I used to accept the excuse that there was no money. I hear it differently now. The government that prints the notes and mints the coins told me it could not find enough of them to train the people who were standing right there, ready to work. The real question was never about money. It was about whether the people existed, whether the skills could be taught, whether the materials were available. They were, all of them. I'm still a healthcare assistant at University Hospital Lewisham. I'm still watching agency nurses earn double my wage to fill the gaps that permanent staff should fill. But I don't accept the excuse anymore. Every empty training place, every closed centre, every person told there's no funding while the need grows more desperate. These aren't accidents or inevitabilities. They're choices made by people who had other options. This isn't just my story. It's the story of every constituency where people and needs exist side by side, while someone in Westminster says the cupboard is bare.
What Amina experienced has a name: fake experts. Just as tobacco companies once cited scientists who claimed smoking was harmless, decision makers in health policy cite economists who treat the household budget analogy as self-evident truth. When Health Education England told Amina there is no funding, they were applying the logic of a family that cannot afford a holiday to a government that issues its own currency. The false analogy works by repetition. Say it enough times and it sounds like economic fact rather than political choice. Economists say we cannot spend more on health without causing inflation. Which economists? The profession is divided. Many macroeconomists argue the binding constraint is real capacity, not currency. Economists say without naming them is an appeal to unnamed authority. The experts cited are always those who confirm that government budgets work like household budgets: find the money first, spend it second. They ignore the economists who point out that governments create money when they spend it, that the real question is whether the resources exist to absorb that spending. In Amina's case, the resources were obvious: empty training centres, unused equipment, healthcare assistants ready to qualify as nurses. The resources existed, the people existed. The decision not to connect them was political, not financial. Lewisham East ranks 98 out of 543 English constituencies in the English Indices of Deprivation, 2025, placing it in deprivation decile 2. 722 charities are registered in the constituency according to the Charity Commission Register for England and Wales. 360 giving Grant NAV records, £18.4 million in total grants received. All sources are published at blockedbritain.co.uk. Blocked Britain tells the stories of people whose lives are shaped by the gap between what Britain needs and what its institutions choose to provide. Every character is fictional. Every situation is drawn from official statistics, produced by Blocked Britain. Blocked.